is in the matter of Jeffrey Benjamin. May we please have appearances of counsel? Good afternoon, counsel. Ms. Horton.
Good afternoon. May it please the court. In this case, is before the court as a motion for reciprocal discipline in which respondent was charged to New York with misappropriation of settlement funds, failure to promptly pay out the settlement funds, failure to promptly respond to reasonable and promptly to failure and failure to promptly respond to reasonable requests for information. The matter was settled by way of stipulation in New York, and the OEE acknowledges that the Disciplinary Review Board majority recommended a censure with certain conditions, but maintains that the six-month suspension recommended by the Office of Attorney Ethics and by one member of the DRB is the more appropriate quantum of discipline based upon the facts of this matter as follows. Respondent was obtained by Olga Robano on behalf of her husband, Alfonso Robano, who was defrauded by a car dealer in 2011 at the age of 89. The respondent got the dealership to agree to settle the case for a little bit over $6,000, which was forwarded to respondent, payable to both respondent and Robano. In July of 2012, respondent deposited the check into his business operating account using his signature stamp without obtaining Robano's signature. Respondent agreed that he should have deposited the funds into his escrow account, but claimed that he deposited them into his business account inadvertently. He claimed he was not paying attention, and he additionally claimed that he waited 6 months to disperse the funds to see if Robano still owed the lender money. Respondent did not disperse the funds until January 28th of 2013, again about 6 months after receipt of the check. And 2 months after respondent deposited the check into the operating account, he had a negative balance in September of 2012. Respondent also stipulated that at times he paid taxes, rent, and possibly other business expenses with client money, but admitted that he only did so non-intentionally, that he was preoccupied with his wife's medical condition and certain other personal problems and was not checking his accounts regularly. He consistently maintained that he did not steal the money, he merely mishandled it by placing it into the wrong account, and that he failed to return it promptly. He also stipulated that he failed to promptly return the case file to his clients. The special referee found that all charges had been sustained. The special referee refused to specifically find mere inadvertence. The Supreme Court thereafter issued, of New York, I should say, Appellate Division, issued an opinion and order suspending respondent for 6 months, and the court agreed with the conclusion of the special referee that respondent's actions were not established to be merely inadvertent. The court found that respondent deposited settlement funds into his operating account when he knew that such funds should go into escrow and pay the expenses as explained below. The court found that this was serious ethical misconduct and delayed payment of a settlement that was due to an elderly client and his wife. But in mitigation, the court found that respondent's expression of remorse was sincere, that he was unlikely to engage in future misconduct, that he had cooperated with the New York ethics authorities, that he had an unblemished prior record, and that he provided evidence both of good character and charitable works. The OEE was guided by the case of In re Jones, in which the DRB reviewed a motion for reciprocal discipline, also out of New York, in which Mr. Jones was charged with 6 counts of conversion. Jones, in that case, was suspended in New York for 5 years. The OAE below had argued that Jones' conduct was the equivalent of knowing misappropriation. However, what ultimately happened is that the DRB seemingly outlined a test taken from In re White that said that New York had not charged intentional conversion, and that therefore he would only receive the 5-year suspension, the same, the exact analogous quantum of discipline that he received in New York would be appropriate in New Jersey. Because here also the New York petition did not charge respondent with the dishonesty DR or New York RPC 8.4C, and the petition did not specifically classify the misappropriation as intentional, it would seem appropriate to follow the holding of the DRB in White and Jones and to recommend, the OAE will recommend the imposition of a 6-month suspension. In aggravation, respondent harmed an elderly, unsophisticated person by withholding the funds, and the mitigation in New York would seem to be appropriate here. Therefore, the OAE recommends the 6-month suspension, exact reciprocal suspension also including conditions of proof of attendance at an OAE-approved accounting course prior to his reinstatement, 2 years of financial monitoring as well on a quarterly basis.
Is your recommendation that the 6 months be prospective or retro?
Yes, our recommendation would be prospective because although respondent has expressed at the oral argument before the DRB that he voluntarily ceased practice, he has not been suspended here, and we don't really have a means to confirm or that he has not been practicing in New Jersey.
If you were satisfied that he was not practicing for those 6 months, would that be a difference in your mind in terms of whether or not there should be a retroactive application?
Then I suppose in that case, it could be set to retroactive to the period at which the point at which he had ceased practice in New Jersey. I'm not sure he has an active practice in New Jersey. May be able to answer that.
Right, that's the question.
Yeah.
Anything you'd like to add?
No.
Questions?
Thank you.
Mr. Benjamin.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the court. I'm here simply to respectfully urge the court to rule based on the DRB's first instinct in my case. It cited the Arechia case, 31A3rd 943 of 2011, and this court, based on that record in Arechia, issued a reprimand under the facts that are somewhat like mine in the sense that I had an unblemished record prior to 2016. Even in Arechia, there was what the DRB found that Mr. Arechia routinely commingled personal and client funds. That was no finding in my case. So in the end, I fully appreciate what the DRB's decision was, and only differ, of course, on the punishment that it suggested based on an aggravating factor, and that was that Mr. Urbano was elderly. And I'm here to tell the court that Mr. Urbano was certainly elderly, but as I put in my response papers, at no time did I actually deal with Mr. Urbano. I dealt with his wife, Ms. Roman, Olga Roman. And I don't know that I should be coming to the court to be arguing what is the definition of elderly. I think the impression, which I am suggesting was false at the beginning in the New York court, was that Ms. Roman was vulnerable, either as to capacity, competency, physical or mental. And I have said in the papers and even throughout the New York proceeding and to the board that she was not, from retention of me through the settlement 3 months after retention and even beyond the settlement. So I'm here to ask the court to find, as the board did, that this does in fact line up to with Arechia, and there is no aggravating circumstance that I somehow pressed advantage based on age.
Your client was Urbano, no?
My client, the actual client was Mr. Urbano, who signed.
Were you aware of his age?
I was aware of his age, yes. He was, I think, 89 years old in 2012.
Tell us the nature of your practice in New Jersey, looking back over recent years.
Right. In 2012, I think in total, beginning my first year of solo practice in 2003, I had a case which I tried to verdict, the jury verdict, and I think that was around 2003 or 2004. After that, I remember two other cases from 2013 to 2016, and at the time of my New York suspension in 2016, I had one of those cases. One of those cases was pending. I don't have, and I have not had, a significant New Jersey practice. The nature of my practice is consumer protection. It has been since 2000.
You had a case pending in 2016?
And when was it resolved?
I'm sorry?
When was the case resolved, the 2016 case?
I'm not sure the case is resolved. From where I left off and where I notified that client, I don't believe it's resolved. I think it's currently sitting with other counsel.
But
I don't know that it's
resolved. Well, let me rephrase. When did you last have any involvement in that or any other case in New Jersey?
2016, prior to the suspension. I immediately notified that New Jersey client of my New York suspension and assumed at that point that I would not be, that there would be some form of reciprocal discipline, and certainly never sought out from that point.
Did
from
you disengage from that client?
I was disengaged from that client, right, upon my
notice
to
him. As of 2016?
Yes, correct.
Okay, so you've had no cases in New Jersey since that time?
I now have one case.
And when did you start that case?
That case I started in 2018 in it could be 17. I'm not exactly sure when we filed the complaint. It could be November 2017 or sometime in early 2018. There was one case that I have right now currently pending.
Yeah. I have one question about this case. Your clients paid you a $6,000 retainer plus costs, yes?
She paid a $5,500 retainer plus $500 in costs.
$6,000?
Yes. Total,
right.
Yes.
And you settled the case for $6,250?
That's right. After a lot of talk with Ms. Roman, yes, I did.
And when did the clients get that $6,250?
At the end of January 2013. January 28th.
How much time since you got the check?
Sorry?
How long did it take from the moment the check reached you to the time it reached the client? How much time
six
passed?
Months. It was 6 months.
Can you clarify for us, and if not, we'll ask you to do this after the argument, the period of time that you were not practicing in New Jersey? It sounds like it was sometime in 2016 when the New York suspension began, and then when that next New Jersey case in 2017 or 18 came forward. How long were you not practicing?
Immediately I was notified of the suspension in May of 2016. So I refrained from New Jersey practice from the notice was 30 days prior to the actual suspension. So it would have been, my refraining was May of 2016 through my reinstatement was April of 2017, and the new case.
That's when you were reinstated in New York?
Yes, April 2017, April 6th, 2017.
And when did you pick up the New Jersey case? After your reinstatement in New York?
Yes, I did. It was, I want to say November. I'm sorry, it was 2018. I'm trying to remember the month. I don't remember what month it was.
Can you certify to us in writing the period of time that you were not practicing in New Jersey after this argument?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, Justice.
Now, in any event, you are certain you were not practicing in New Jersey between June 13th of 18 when your 16 when your New York suspension started, and sometime late 2017, early 2018, when you were in New York, after your New York suspension ended.
Absolutely. I did not take on any new cases. I didn't seek out any cases in Jersey after my New York suspension either.
And you accepted none?
I'm sorry?
And you accepted none?
I accepted none. I actually got calls, but I accepted none.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to add to your presentation?
I think I've made it clear. Well, thank you.
I'd ask you to be in touch with the clerk of the court to submit a certification as to when you were not practicing in New Jersey. And
yes.
To do so this week, please.
I'm sorry?
And to do so by the end of this week, please.
End of this week, Friday.
Yes, please.
Okay.
If you need more time, speak with the clerk of the court about it.
With the clerk of the court. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Your Honor.
Court is in recess for the day.